Hey KU fans, welcome back to another episode of the KU Sports Hour here at KUSports.com. Today we've got another Meeting Bill Self episode, and we are joined by Jeff Goodman, who's covered Bill Self for a long time for a bunch of different outlets. Jeff's with Stadium right now and doing a lot of good work over there. So Jeff, thanks for joining us.
No problem, Matt. Good to be on, and hope all is well with you, and you're coming up with content like I am. As much as we can, right?
One day at a time.
That's right.
Well, you know the deal. Here it is. Meeting Bill Self is the name of the podcast, and I know we've talked before we hit record here about your first encounter, or basically your first encounter, and I think it's interesting. It's different than a lot of other people, I think. So tell me what you remember about the first time you met Coach Self.
You know, I think it was in a gym at an AU event, and just kind of watching games. You know, I came up differently than most college writers. I came up covering recruiting, and that gave me a major advantage. So I think it was actually Bill who introduced himself to me. I was not the type to actively seek out coaches.
Right.
It kind of became something where coaches knew that, you know, I knew all these kids. You know, I was recruiting, doing recruiting stuff, and I was organized, and I knew, like, every kid in the country. Prep school kids, top 150 kids. So I think we were just kind of sitting next to each other. I think it was in Houston. And, in typical Bill Self fashion, he starts bullshitting with you. And I think, you know, that's the beauty of Bill Self, is he's not above anybody else. He's a regular dude. And I've got a few of those types of stories. But that was kind of the first one. He's just talking to me, and I'm like some recruiting slapdick, right? Like, I'm a nobody, a complete nobody in the business. The guys I had dealt with to that point are mostly, you know, assistant coaches, low-level guys, some high majors. But I'm just trying to kind of break in. And you remember that forever. You know, you remember the guys that actually gave you the time of day when you're breaking in, number one. And then you remember the guys, and I remember them well, the ones who don't give you the time of day when you're trying to break in, and you kind of move your way up a little bit, and you got a little bit more pop and juice, and then they want something from you, and you're like, no, it's shit. Like,
yeah, I remember you.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when you didn't help me. You know, I was sitting next to one coach. He's now a head coach, against the better judgment of a lot of people. But I was sitting next to him at Slam Dunk to the Beach. It was like the first AU event I ever went to, and I didn't know recruiting. I didn't know anything about it. And I looked over at him, and I wanted to kind of just bounce a few things off him. What's going, you know? And he wouldn't even look at me.
Wow!
And,
wow!
So now I
par for the course.
I'm done
in some ways,
right? I'm done.
So was Self at Kansas when you first met him?
He was. No, it might have been Illinois.
Oh, okay.
It must have been Illinois.
Okay. So
yeah, it was Illinois. Definitely Illinois.
Okay, and so you've kind of obviously. I mean, did you know much about him before that? I mean, you know, even from a fan perspective,
not a ton. Yeah, I mean, not a ton. Obviously, I'm a basketball fan, but
right.
You know, you just knew. Yeah, you just knew kind of who he was and a little bit, you know, where he came from. But no, I did not know a ton about Bill. And again, I just feel like he makes you feel at ease. That's, I guess, the best thing you can say about Bill Self, and he's very similar to Tom Izzo. Those two guys are super similar in almost everything about him, right? I mean, they're tough as shit with their players, but they find a way to be able to connect with their players. Like, there's a lot of guys who are tough as shit, and their players hate them.
Right.
But all the players like Bill, like Tom Izzo. Why? Because they can put their arms around him. They actually have a relationship with them. So those kids know. You know, like with Jim Calhoun at UConn, the kids hated him when they played for him, and then they loved him like 5, 10, 15 years later. But most kids love Bill and Tom Izzo even when they're playing for him, even though they are kind of old school. But they blend kind of a new school mentality because of, again, that relationship they have with the kids.
Yeah, do you think that's, I mean, you mentioned it, a bunch of people who have done this podcast with me too, you know, that idea that you talked about a minute ago about him just being a regular dude, that comes up over and over and over. Anyone that knows him knows that's right on the money. But do you think what's made him so successful and continue to operate at this high level like he is just how much he can kind of be that chameleon and adapt to different situations?
Yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. I mean, you could put him in front of just about anybody. And again, he's just got that kind of that ability to connect and ability. Listen, he's got some BS in him. We know that, right? You and I know. He's good at the bullshit game, but he doesn't come across that way. You know, he comes across, you've got to be a pretty good BSer to be able to recruit, right? I mean, whoever, the best ones are obviously, whether it's even Coach K, is a BSer. We know that. But I think Bill, again, he comes across as like a guy's guy.
Sure. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. And I think that does appeal to a lot of people, whether it's parents, whether it's high school coaches, whether it's the kids themselves, AAU coaches, whatever it is. I mean, that's the most amazing thing. Do you have any memorable moments covering him? Memorable run-ins, good, bad, indifferent?
We've had good, bad, and different. We've had a few. All right, so
I've heard of a few, but yeah,
I'll give you the bad at first. A couple bads. One I remember, we're at Madison Square Garden. That was after a Champions Classic or one of those early season games, and they hadn't recruited that well at that point. They had missed on some dudes. This was before Wiggins. They got Wiggins and Embiid maybe a year or so before they got those guys.
Right.
And I had written, Bill Self's recruiting's really, really kind of, suffered lately. And I'm in the locker room after the game. It's just the coaches. And in typical Bill fashion, like, he just comes right at me. He's like, yeah, so we can't recruit, huh? And he's like, pointing at his assistants. Like, then I'm basically calling out, I forget who it was at that point, if it was Jarrett's Norm and who it was at that point. But, he's going at me, but in the right way, I guess, is the biggest thing. You've got a lot of coaches that will go at me and go after me. And for me, that's just not the right way to go about it, because honestly, it just gets me more motivated to then really go after them.
Sure.
So, Bill and I have that relationship anywhere where he can joke with me, and that's kind of what he was half doing there, but he's like, guys, like, he wrote that we can't recruit anybody. And our recruiting sucks. And at that point, it really had taken a big hit. Before, they weren't getting those top players. So that was one of them. Then the other one was after I interviewed, I don't know if you heard this one, after I interviewed Andrew Wiggins. Did you read the story I wrote after I interviewed Andrew Wiggins for 20 minutes?
Right.
And honestly, he's a shy kid.
Right.
And he never looked up at me. Like, once. He looked at the floor the entire time.
Yep.
And I have never been the biggest Andrew Wiggins fan on the court. Okay? I've always thought he was overrated in AAU ball. I thought people said he was a great defender when he never guarded. He played a level of his competition. I always wanted more. I guess just what I'm saying about Andrew Wiggins. I always wanted more. And remember, the big thing I tweeted was, that year, I would rather have Aaron Kraft than Andrew Wiggins. And people took it to mean, I'd rather have him down the road. No. I would have rather had Aaron Kraft that year in college than Andrew Wiggins. People thought I was nuts, but Kraft came out and played hard all the time.
Yeah,
Wiggins
right.
did not.
Kid ever. Right, right.
Right. So I write in a story preseason after sitting down with Wiggins, some of my concerns. Within this story, I write that he didn't make eye contact for 20, whatever. He doesn't even make eye contact within a story. Oh, my God. I got crushed. Like, I don't think he talked to me for like 6 months after that. I don't think we talked at all. I think he was actually pissed at first. The fact that I would use eye contact.
Right.
But it was a part of the whole thing for me. For me, it was just a part of Andrew Wiggins overall and why I didn't completely trust him. And to be honest, I think I was right in some respects.
Yeah, well, no, the big thing about Wiggins throughout his time in Lawrence was, it was a stopover. He never unpacked his bags. I mean, that all speaks to kind of that idea, even though, as you mentioned, that really was just who he is. I mean, I interviewed him in Brooklyn 2 years ago, the when KU was out there for the NIT early season thing, and the T-Wolves and Nets played at noon that day when KU played Tennessee later that night. And so I went to the game and figured I'd catch up with him. And I mean, this was, you know, 7 years later or whatever. And yeah. Same dude. I mean, I walked in.
Same. Locked, hasn't changed a bit. Still he wouldn't talk to me in summer league a couple years ago when I was doing ESPN stuff for sideline stuff for NBA summer league. Right. He didn't want to do an interview. I don't know if it's shy or what it is, but,
yeah, it's just, yeah, it's, I mean, just him, I crazy. Think, right? So, yeah, that's funny. Those are good. I've heard of both of those, and I'm not surprised.
Did you hear the Embiid one?
No.
Did you hear the one? You must have heard this one. This is great. So I was doing a game at Baylor, Kansas at Baylor. It's midway through the year. Somebody had put out a report right before that.
Yeah, I've heard this. Sorry.
About Joel might come back to school next year.
Right.
So, I did a report during the game. I hate sideline reporting. Like, hey, it's the worst. It's the worst job in the world. I mean, again, not for me. It's just not for me. So, I did a report, and in the report, it was basically, you know, well, Joel Embiid, you know, may come back or he may not come back. Like, we don't know. So, they aired the thing after the game. It was a snowstorm, and I'm in the restaurant. Kansas is there too, and I'm sitting there watching it with some of the Kansas assistants and Bill. And they put the interview on TV, on the TV in front of us, and they play it. And it's like me looking like a complete idiot, saying like, "Well, Joel Embiid, he might come back to school, or he might not come back to school." And Bill heard that, and it was over. It was over. Like crushed me, and crushes me about it. Over and over and over. So, there's plenty you can crush me about, and he makes it clear that he is an equal opportunist in terms of being able to do that. Which is fine.
That'd be a fair way.
You gotta man up. You know.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it for sure. Jeff, you know, obviously coaches in the Hall of Fame. He's got the 2008 title, a few Final Fours, all that. Are you surprised he hasn't won a second title?
Yes and no. I mean, it takes some luck. I think this year they had a chance.
Right.
I mean, they definitely had a chance, probably as good as anybody, because you had a veteran team. You had a good point guard and a really good big man and a really good defender, Marcus Garrett. So, like, you had the pieces that this year could have done it. But, again, they could have easily gotten knocked out in the second round this year, too. They weren't that good. They were good. They were the best of a group that had a lot of parity at the top. So, am I surprised? Well, John Calipari's only got one. You know, there are plenty of other great coaches that only had one. It's hard to get more than one, especially, again, and I think you know this as well as anybody, like, you know, when you're the big dog at Adidas, you're not getting the best player. The best players are not at Adidas.
Right.
So you've got to get guys from Nike. And if you're going to try to get guys from Nike to go to Lawrence, you're not getting any help. And again, I put out a tweet last week saying Nike helps, Kentucky, Oregon, and Duke. And Kentucky fans went bananas on me, insinuating that it was, like, necessarily cheating. And I was just saying, well, like it's not necessarily cheating. They help.
Just
like,
the association.
Nike wants the best players, their best players on their circuit to go to those three schools. Just like Adidas wants their best players to go to Kansas and Indiana and the best Adidas schools. And Under Armour wants its best players to go to Maryland.
Right.
Like, that's just the way it is. So I think they've been at a disadvantage in terms of that Adidas has not had great players over the past decade, comparatively speaking, to Nike.
Sure, makes sense. What's left then? I mean, if obviously, getting another title would be a huge thing for the legacy of Bill Self and put him in a different group, right, of guys that have won multiple titles. But what else can the guy do? I mean, I mean, everything says he wants to keep going with this thing for a long time. For a while there, it sounded like, you know, you never know how long he's going to go. But I think he's more motivated now and wants to keep this thing going. I mean, what else can he do?
Well, I think this whole NCAA thing is going to determine it. I think it's going to determine maybe his legacy, and certainly people remember it's kind of a recency bias, right? They remember what happened recently. In 20 years, all this shit may go away and you may not remember it, but for the time being, that's what people are going to remember, how this thing shakes out right now. And we still got a long way to go. You and I were talking before we started this, and I said, like, the people that are speculating right now and saying, well, they're going to get a 2-year postseason ban, they have no idea.
Right.
You don't have any idea. I don't have any idea. Bill Self doesn't have any idea how this thing's going to shake out because it's a new independent process, a new independent review. So it hasn't been utilized before. So I do think this will determine the next step of Bill Self's career. And if he can get through this unscathed or fairly unscathed, does he stick at Kansas? If not, is he looking for a different avenue? And I certainly know plenty of NBA guys, GMs that I've talked to over the years that feel like he would be a really good NBA coach. But, yeah, it would have to be right. I mean, you want to go in and coach the Sacramento Kings or an organization that hasn't had any success? Not really. Not when you're watching, you know, Brad Stevens coach the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you know, I just think, again, it's so early to tell right now in this process for Bill Self. A lot can change in his mental state, depending on what happens.
Yeah, very good. Let's get you out of here on this one. You've covered a lot, been around him a lot. Is there a...
I got one more story.
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell one more story?
Absolutely.
All right. My favorite Bill Self story.
There you go.
And I think it was like me, Gary Parish, and maybe one other writer. We're in, I think we were in Akron. It might have been Pete Thamel, actually. And we're in Akron, I believe. And we stayed at like a Residence Inn up on a hill. Dropped our stuff off after all the games that day, and then walked over across the street to like a, I don't know, it was like a Fridays or something like that. So we walk in, and you see Bill at the bar with two guys and two women, and he's just bullshitting with them. And, you know, after like a half an hour, he introduces us, knows their names, whatever, and after like a half hour, like, you know, two women leave, and, then after like another half hour, like the two guys leave. We're like, Bill, you know, who are those guys? He's like, I don't know. I just met him. And that's like, that's Bill. And then I believe after that, if I'm getting this right, I think we all got into a car in Akron and tried to find LeBron's house. I had a few, but I'm pretty sure that's the way it went. We all got in and I think Bill thought he knew where he lived. And we're literally driving around Akron trying to find LeBron's house.
Living the dream. Living the dream. Driving around Akron.
Like, just so screwed up. Like, so, but it's, again, so Bill. Like, that's just the way he kind of was and the way he is. And I don't think he'll ever change that.
Yeah, that's terrific. That's a good one.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's good.
You guys have your closing thing, but I figured that's a story that, to be honest, is one of the greatest.
Yeah, you got to tell the Akron driving story.
Yes.
I was going to get you out of here on the idea of similar. I mean, it's more basketball than that one, but it speaks to the idea of, you know, being so Coach Self. Do you have a game or a team, a Kansas team that you covered that you remember thinking, well, that's the ultimate Bill Self team, or that was the ultimate Bill Self game? Is there one that jumps out to you? And if not, no big deal.
I think it was, I'm trying to remember where I was that year. So the national title year when they won it all, I saw them earlier in the year a couple times in 2008.
Okay.
And I can't remember. It must have been out east once. I just felt like that was kind of like Russell Robinson is like, to me, like the perfect guy for Bill Self. Right, like tough, hard nose, Julian Wright, the perfect guy for Bill Self. Like they just, you know, they weren't the most talented guys in the world. You know, Russell never made it to the NBA. Julian kind of toiled a little bit, but couldn't really shoot. Brandon Rush was a guy I'd seen play a ton in prep school at Mount Zion Academy, and he was rough around the edges, and people were kind of worried whether he'd make it. And he just kind of finds a way. And I think, again, Bill Self's biggest strength is his ability to connect and get guys to come together. because of his personality, because he can be an MF-er when he needs to be, but he can be a guy that lightens it up. I love, again, the two guys who I love going to practice are Izzo and Self, because they're going to be entertaining. They're going to jump guys, no doubt about it, but they're all, when they jump them, it's like half joking, you know, it's like sarcastic, you know, not going at them personally ever, but just kind of making fun at them a little bit, and I don't know, it's just entertaining.
Yeah, that's the word.
No doubt. No, he knows how to push the right button.
That's Jeff Goodman from Stadium, and you can check him all over Twitter, all over the internet world, all over the college basketball world. Jeff, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Appreciate it, and stay safe, Matt.
You do the same. That's it for another episode of Meeting Bill Self here at the KU Sports Hour. Thanks to everybody for listening, and if you've missed any of them, be sure to check out the links below this to look back and hear from all the other people that have talked about their first encounters with Bill Self. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you guys again real soon on another episode. Take care, everybody.